Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN. We are here on Thursday, December 28th, 2017. Hope you guys had a pleasant holiday. Merry Christmas. We are back here to talk about some NFL stuff as we get to Week 17 and on New Year's Eve. And in light of the schedule, which the way it's broken isn't really that exciting for this weekend, not really too many good games, I thought it might be better to take a bigger, more holistic approach to the broader season and talk about the season as a whole and hand out grades to each team as we look at the 2017 season. Joining me to do that is USA Today's Lindsay Jones. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Very cold. I'm sitting by a window. It's miserable. It's very cold here. I chose to live in New York City and didn't realize it would be very cold. That's on me, but I'm still upset about it.
Well, I hope you can power through this podcast.
that was the least amount of support I think I possibly could have hoped for.
Put on a hat, get a scarf.
Get over it.
Let Maggie sit on your feet. We'll be good.
Yes. All right. So let's go through team by team, and I think we're going to start in the AFC. We'll start in the AFC East, I guess a traditional sort of way of going about things. And this is just basically, you know, just think about this team's season as a whole and how do they perform? I mean, whether it's that they develop players well, whether it's that they're in better shape for next year or worse shape for next year, whether it's that they, you know, manage things well, injuries hit them, injuries didn't hit them. Just basically, if you were a teacher handing out grades for each team's season, this is what they would get. So let's start with the Buffalo Bills, who may make the playoffs this year still. They still have an outside shot. Don't know what's going to happen with them. Lindsay, what grade would you give the Bills for 2017?
So I'm very curious to see how our grading scales match.
Yes, very much so.
I gave the Bills a B-.
Okay.
They're 8-7 right now, and I think the fact that they're playing a meaningful game, I mean, they need a lot of help on mm-hmm. Sunday to get in, but it's been a long time since they were even had the potential to get in week 17 into the playoffs. So
right.
I gave them a B-. I think I didn't expect them to be here in playoff contention this late in the season, especially after a lot of the offseason moves that they made. They dumped all their wide receivers. They traded away Marcel Darius in the middle of the year. And then that, you know, the most baffling coaching decision outside of whatever the Giants have done all year with the Nathan Peterman move. So, you know, I think, you know, when we look at it as a whole, the fact that they're in contention, they're above 500 right now, have the potential to be 9-7 when their over-under was set at 6 mm-hmm. this year. I think, you know, I think a B makes sense, and I'm just giving them the minus because of that stupid Nathan Peterman decision.
It's so bad.
Sorry, Bills fans.
I know. I feel bad for Bills fans, even though they've been annoying me. Not annoying, but the bad Bills fans have been in my mentions for days now. The good Bills fans I feel bad for. They deserve better than this. And I give them a C-plus in the same vein. I think they're, like you said, much better shape than I think even they would have anticipated heading into the season. But just the Nathan Peterman thing didn't make sense when it happened. Obviously, they got the worst possible outcome given a subpar decision, and I think they'll move on from Tyrod Taylor this offseason. I think there's going to be some changes to that team, but I think they're in much better shape than they were heading into the season. So if they hadn't made the Peterman move, I'd say a B, but C-plus for me.
If they missed the playoffs because of it, because of that head-to-head, it would be one of the all-time gaffes.
I honestly, I tweeted about it. I don't want it to happen. I want them to just lose for other reasons. They don't have to have that on their conscience for the next year. I mean, you know, not really for McDermott's sake, but for the fans' sake. Just, they don't deserve that. Miami Dolphins, a team that had perhaps high hopes heading into the season and were not delivered. A disappointing year for the Dolphins. Where do you grade them?
I gave them a D because yes. of the high expectations and just how badly they failed. And I'm surprised that they're 6-9. Mm-hmm. It was one of those where I went back and had to look and say, wait, they did win 6 games? Because the games that they lost were very high profile.
Yes.
They were so bad on primetime, that stretch where it was 3 games in a row where they were on primetime and just laid an egg each week. Mm-hmm. And the Jay Cutler move clearly failed, except for him getting a gazillion Marriott points. Good for you, Jay. This is how bad their year has been. When we're listing all of the weird things that happened, you know, JHI trade, the, you know, cutting Byron Maxwell, their offensive line coach was on videos doing cocaine. And it's like, that's not even in the top five of weird things that happened to their season. So I'm giving them a D. They had such big expectations, thought that they could compete with the Patriots in the AFC East, and that never, outside of one game where they actually, you know, played well against the Patriots, they just were a non-factor in that division.
I must caution. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm going to caution anyway. Allegedly did cocaine. He could have been sniffing sugar for all I know, but
that's true for all we know.
Yes. I just want to err on the side of caution there and say allegedly was doing cocaine, but
the
best word in all of journalism was allegedly. I agree with you. I also gave them a D, and you can fault them for the Jay Cutler decision. I mean, it wasn't their fault that Ryan Tannehill got injured necessarily. Obviously, you would have hoped it would have worked out better. And who knows what they would have done with Tannehill in the lineup. But this is a team that looked at last year where they beat a lot of teams by 3 or 4 points who were bad and said, okay, well, we're a contender. We're going to go out and invest in free agency. We're going to bring a lot of this core back for another year. Handed out a lot of bad contracts, made decisions that just didn't seem to add up in the moment and ended up not ending up over the course of the season. So I wonder about where they go next. I mean, they may end up investing in a quarterback. They may end up going after just changing the tenor of the franchise, cutting the Ndamukong Suh. I mean, a lot of things are on the table for a team that I think felt pretty settled heading into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really know where they go from here. I think they're one of the teams that has the most questions moving forward, considering that they're, you know, mid-range, you know, they could finish with 7 wins, and I just don't know where they go from here. So many questions, like you said.
Right. It just feels like they have no, their ceiling is not very high, and their floor is perhaps lower than they even expected heading into the year. What about the New England Patriots?
So the Patriots, I gave them a B.
Okay.
And which I think it's weird, maybe weird to give them a B because they're 12-3 and the likely number one seed in the AFC. They're going to have probably going to have home field advantage all through the playoffs, but you got to grade on the Patriots on a curve, right? I mean, there was so much talk heading into the season that, oh, could they be undefeated 16-0? I mean, you know, my colleague Nate Davis, you know, wrote all about that this preseason, you know, 16-0. And that just didn't happen. I mean, they've had stretches where they haven't looked great, especially early in the year. Their defense continues to have issues this late in the season, but I feel like a B seems appropriate. Just given their expectations.
Yeah, I think it's fair. You know, I would give them a B plus just because I think they did a solid job of sort of dealing with the issues related to the Julian Edelman injury. Of course, there were defensive concerns not even heading into the year, but after those first 2 weeks, and I think they recovered from those pretty well, even without Dante Hightower. They've won 10 out of their last 11 games, and their one loss is strangely to the Dolphins. I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job, all things considered. The expectations were super high, so you can't go, I think, really any higher than a B+, but I do agree with you that I think they haven't lived up to the 16-0 expectations, and maybe those are unfair, but they're going to be where they are every single year. They're going to be in the AFC Championship game. They're either going to be, you know, they're going to be at home, we assume, so they're going to be in great shape to make it to another Super Bowl, and so that's what everyone wants to do. I think that's what, you know, that's what everyone signs up to do at the beginning of the year. What about the Jets?
I gave the Jets a C. Which, really? So only one grade lower for than the Patriots, even though the Patriots have 7 more wins right now. I was really surprised when I went back and looked that their over-under was set at 4.5, because I feel like all we talked about all offseason was, like, could the Jets even win a game? So Vegas was clearly smarter than we were here, because they're at 5 wins right now.
Yeah.
You know, I gave them a C because it wasn't as much of a disaster as I think most of us were expecting. You know, I think I kind of pegged them in the maybe 2-4 win range, and here they are at 5 right now. The biggest issue, I think, is that they're no closer to figuring out their quarterback situation than they were in August. And they've got more drama with star players, the Mo Wilkerson situation. It's not going to end well. I mean, it's a mess right now. You know, but I think there's been some positives. You know, I think when they got rid of all those wide receivers and you looked and you said, Robbie Anderson is going to be their guy. I mean, I think he's been viable. I don't know if you want to go long-term with him as your number one. And Austin Seferian-Jenkins has kind of revived his career after flaming out in Tampa. So I think there have been more positives than I was expecting there to be. And it looks like maybe Todd Bowles' job should be safe now, where we've seen before the year that he was for sure going to be gone if they were, you know, 1 or 2 wins. So a C, I think, better than expected, but still not very good.
Yeah, I give them a B. I think they made a lot with very little, given the expectations were so low. I mean, I thought they'd be the worst team in the league. I think, you know, a fair amount of people also felt that way. And even though they didn't really develop their future at all, I think they gave effort. I mean, they were impressive at stretches. They, you know, with a little bit more luck, they're a 7-win team. I feel like they, you know, blew a couple games late that they were in winnable situations. Carolina comes to mind as one of those. So, I just think it was an impressive performance from a team where I think everyone would have expected them to fall over and just sort of be a 2-win team and kind of stink. So I was impressed from that perspective.
Yeah, and I think they should be a good reminder anytime we talk, especially early in the season, about a team tanking, where, yeah. I mean, the words coming out of there all season was, hell no, we're not going to tank, and players aren't going to do that. We can look at a roster and say it might not be very good, but they're still going to give effort, and that should be a reminder for us moving forward when we try to write those storylines.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they everyone would have expected them to tank, and they did not. AFC North, what about the Baltimore Ravens?
I gave them a B.
Yep.
Because they're right here about to go and, you know, win and get in. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to think, and the weirdest stat about the season for them, right, is that they had two shutouts, but they were also shut out.
Really?
I just have a hard time of really knowing what to make of the Ravens. Yeah, I mean, they got shut out in London.
Oh, right.
Am I remembering that right?
Yeah.
By the Jags.
No.
But then did they score late in that game?
They scored right at the very end. They scored a touchdown with 3 minutes left. It was Ryan Mallett was in the game, which should tell you something about.
Okay, so it shouldn't even count.
Yeah, it should not count.
Okay. their offense is really ugly. Joe Flacco.
It's Joe Flacco.
You know. Yeah. It's hard to get super excited about them, but leading the NFL in interceptions. Mm-hmm. They're going to make the playoffs, most likely, unless they really lay an egg this week against the Bengals. So I gave them a B. I think they're fine. I just have a hard time getting excited about them.
Yeah, I agree. I gave them a B as well. I think, you know, they're a veteran team that's built to win 9 or 10 games now, and they're a veteran team that won 9 or 10 games now. I mean, they've brought a couple young pieces in. Alex Collins looks great, but I just don't. I don't know that they're any closer to winning Super Bowl, perhaps, than they were heading into the season. And, of course, the injuries haven't helped either. Cincinnati Bengals, what did you give them?
I gave them a D.
Ooh.
This is another team where I was surprised that at how many wins they had. They're at 6-9, and I was surprised that they were at 6 wins. Mm-hmm. It just feels like it's the end of everything. If their window was still open this year, it was pretty small, and now it just feels like it's completely shut, and they're going to, if the rebuilding process started this year, it's really going to continue next year.
Yeah.
If this is really the end of the Marvin Lewis era, it's a really kind of disappointing end for what was a pretty impressive run that he had there, even without a playoff win.
Right.
But it was just hard to really remember anything that was super notable about their year. I mean, the memory or the moment that sticks out most to me is when I look back, what did the Bengals do this year? Mm-hmm. AJ Green lost his mind and fought Jalen Ramsey.
Yes.
That's the thing that jumps out at me most. And that's not a highlight that you want to kind of hang your hat on for sure.
Agree to disagree on that one. I feel like that's going to go down in the annals.
I mean, good for him. I mean, because he is usually so like mild mannered, but it just, if that was the most memorable moment of your season, I mean,
yeah,
not great.
It's not pretty. Yeah. I gave them a D plus or a D. I gave them a D plus only because we'll get to the Browns in a second. But D plus, same reasons. I mean, you think about, they were in okay shape. If they had won that Steelers game, they were blowing the Steelers out in the first half of that game in week 13. You win that, you're 6-5, maybe you make a playoff run, but it went south from there. They lost their next three games and only really recovered last week by beating the Lions. So you figure this is the end for Marvin Lewis and that they're going to make some wholesale changes this offseason. And this is going to be the end of an era for a team where, you know, you figure they would have been a playoff contender this year. What about the Cleveland Browns, though?
I mean, isn't it like the easiest F? I mean, there's maybe one other team here that also deserves an F. Isn't it shocking? I think it just says a lot about the Browns and where they are as a franchise. That the fact that they're on the verge of 0-16 isn't a bigger story.
Right.
I mean, I feel like when the Lions were about to go 0-16, it was just all of these long form think pieces about what it means to not win a game and historical perspective and stuff. And we're just like, yeah, the Browns are going to be 0-16. That's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
They should have won a couple games. that they were in a lot of games, a lot of really bad coaching decisions. Mm-hmm. The way Hugh Jackson handled DeShone Kizer this year, I think, was really poor, especially for a coach who's supposed to, the best thing going for him is the way he raises quarterbacks. And yeah. I think that was really poor. Joe Thomas got hurt. I mean, it's hard to find anything really redeeming out of there. They're not, I think they still have some good pieces there. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see Josh Gordon coming back and hopefully being healthy and productive in his life and in football.
Yeah.
But they still don't know what they're doing at quarterback. They got rid of Sashi Brown already. I mean, it's just a mess.
It's an absolute mess. I mean, I don't know who comes out of the season and you think, oh, well, this is a player who's in better shape and who looks more impressive than he did last year. Maybe Duke Johnson. Jason McCourty has improved. He had a nice comeback year, but he's an elderly cornerback. He doesn't have a long NFL career ahead of him. Miles Garrett looks great when healthy. So you look at that and say, okay, well, we think we have a very solid pass rusher. But, I mean, they're so far. You know, this was the year where they were supposed to improve, and they're a worse team than they were a year ago, which is really sad and really a commentary on just how bereft this franchise is right now. So, yeah, I'm with you. I gave them an F. What about the Steelers?
I gave them a B+.
Okay.
And I think they were really a controversial call away from home field advantage in the playoffs, which maybe would have bumped them up to an A. Mm-hmm. And then these major injuries that they have heading into the playoffs, I think, are going to really end up costing them, which is too bad because, you know, in 2015, they ended up having some really big injuries late in the season and in the playoffs that I think really cost them a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I remember that divisional round game where they came into Denver and they almost beat the Broncos without Antonio Brown, with Ben basically playing with one shoulder.
Yeah.
And, and it just feels like that's kind of happening again now here, where we don't know if Antonio Brown is going to be healthy enough to play in 2 weeks in the divisional round. Ryan Shazier obviously isn't coming back. It's just a heartbreaking injury. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really kind of hard to put it in some sort of a football context, but he is such a special player. He's really irreplaceable there. So, you know, it's disappointing. I think that this is a team that should be a Super Bowl contender, and now they just have a lot of things working against them right now with injuries, and now potentially, if they make it through the divisional round, having to go to Foxborough for another game against the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I give them an A-. I think I'm going to give them some credit for persevering through those injuries. But, I mean, they lost a possible offensive player of the year, possible defensive player of the year over the final few weeks of the season. And so it would be a real bummer if that impacts their playoff hopes. But you have to figure that it's unfortunately going to. Let's talk about
the other. I almost forgot with them, too. They had so much drama that they overcame. When you say they overcame a lot, now it's just the James Harrison is the latest, but Martavis Bryant wanted to be traded in the middle of the season. Le'Veon Bell held out. It's just a lot of drama for a team that now has gotten to 12, maybe 13 wins, probably 13 wins, assuming they can beat the Browns.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens with the James Harrison thing. It's such a weird story to break at the end of the year that he was just basically trying to be, you know, just trying to get dumped for 4 months, and finally they gave in and dumped him.
And then, of course, signs with the Patriots, where, I mean, he might not have anything left, and it could be one of those where they sign him and they realize in a week and a half that he can't give them anything and he gets cut again, or, you know, he comes in and plays 10 snaps and gets a couple quarterback hits. It's just so weird. And the comments coming out of the Steelers locker room this week have been very interesting. I just want to do that, like, meme with the popcorn all week, just watching them.
I concur. It's been a very interesting reaction from the Steelers about James Harrison. AFC South, a really interesting division in a lot of ways. What about the Houston Texans?
Okay, so I gave them an incomplete.
Oh.
Is that acceptable? I mean, they're the only one I did that I gave an incomplete. Because I feel like we were robbed of a complete season from Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
And the fact that we had to have seen this combination of Tom Savage, TJ Yates, and very briefly, Taylor Heinicke, is that how we say his name?
Sure.
And maybe we'll see Josh Johnson this week. I just think we should have gotten a whole year of Deshaun Watson, and we're not getting that. So it's hard to just kind of grade their season as a whole when we didn't really get to see what it was supposed to be. Super disappointing otherwise.
I gave them a C-.
Okay. I think that's fair.
yeah, I mean, they found Deshaun Watson. That's great in the long term. That's going to really help their franchise. You know, they lost JJ Watt to another injury, and that has to be troubling about his long term future, just thinking about whether he's ever going to be the guy he was a few years ago. But, and this is a team that weren't interested in signing Colin Kaepernick, and I don't know that they would have saved their season, but you would figure, given the offense they were running with Deshaun Watson, that he could have filled in. They ended up going with Tom Savage, and well, they haven't. I believe they've won zero games since, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe they've won one, but under any circumstance, it ended up blowing their season. So I just don't know. I don't know if you're Bill O'Brien, how you can sit there and say to yourself, well, we gave our team the best chance of winning with the guys we have, because you didn't. You left a possible, you know, season-saving player on the bench, which is, or on the sidelines, which is really sad. What about the Indianapolis Colts?
All right, so they're another S. And that might not be fair because there was no Andrew Luck, but I think that the Colts mismanaged that as well. Yeah. So I think they are franchise-wise partially to blame for not having Andrew Luck this year. You know, I think they made the best that they could with their quarterback situation, getting Jacoby Brissett at the end of the preseason. I think he helped. Mm-hmm. But man, that offensive line has been terrible. I'm surprised that Brissett has survived the year with only, he had one concussion. Did he have any more? I'm trying to think if he had more concussions, but at least one concussion. Yeah. I'm just surprised that he's emerged healthy with the beating that he's taken. Big questions though moving forward. I don't think they're in a good situation moving into 2018. Don't know who the coach is going to be. Don't know if Andrew Luck is going to be healthy, if he's ever going to be the guy he was before. You know, they've got some interesting options for the draft. I mean, maybe the one positive coming out here, they're going to have a lot of options, and they clearly have a lot of holes. But it's just disappointing. I mean, their offense has been terrible. What, 30th in total offense, 31st in scoring. Defense is 31st in points allowed, 30th in yards allowed. I mean, when you're that low in all those major categories, that's just a complete failure across the board. And look, they won three games. The wins that they had, they beat Cleveland. They beat San Francisco early in the year, well before the Jimmy Garoppolo arrival, and they beat Houston shortly after Deshaun Watson's injury. So you don't get a lot of credit for those three wins.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they're not far removed from 0-16. You know, a couple breaks here or there where they beat, you know, they beat the Niners in overtime. Browns came down to, they were up on the Browns, but Browns, you know, onside kick would have given them a shot to win the game. And then, yeah, Texans drive came down to, I think, a couple plays in the red zone. So, yeah, I gave them a D+ just because I think they're going to fire Chuck Pagano. I think that'll be a thing that ends up progressing the franchise, but it probably should be along in their 2018 grade, not their 2017 grade. So maybe I'll downgrade them to a D. I think you talked me into it a little bit. What about the Jacksonville Jaguars?
So I gave them an A.
Yeah.
10-5 right now. They're in the playoffs. That defense is really, really nasty. They look to be defensively in great shape moving forward. I think offensively they look to be in pretty good shape moving forward, even though there is still some question about Blake Bortles. And, you know, it's hard to say that when it's the biggest, you know, most important position on your team. you've found some young wide receivers who can play. Keelan Cole, Dede Westbrook. They've done this whole season without Allen Robinson, which is really surprising when you go back and remember that their best offensive player has not been available all year. You know, so they've got questions about him, whether he'll be a Jag moving forward or not as well. But I think they're in really good position moving forward. They seem to have really benefited from the kind of culture change under Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone. They maybe needed that discipline until last week when they kind of imploded against the Niners. And I think that was just a sign of some immaturity and some hot heads on defense not really being able to handle the situation. But yeah, playoffs, they're fun. They're fun to watch. I think they're going to be really dangerous in the playoffs as long as, you know, we don't see bad Blake Bortles show up in January.
Yeah, and who knows? He may still happen, but I have to give them an A as well. I just think the defense has been incredible. Of course, they've been remarkably healthy, but, you know, all things considered, I think you couldn't have hoped for more than what we've seen from the Jaguars so far this year. Maybe if Bortles was a franchise quarterback, I'd give him an A+, but I think all things otherwise considered, they've been great. So an A for them. What about the Tennessee Titans? I think this is a really interesting one.
The Tennessee Titans, they're so hard, right? Because yep. they're right here, can win their way into the playoffs this weekend. If they beat the Jags, who it feels like the Jags have maybe some incentive to not win this game right. so that they could play the Titans again in the playoffs instead of potentially having to play the Chargers and Gus Bradley.
Right.
So I'm going to give them a B minus.
Okay.
Does that seem fair? I mean, I'm going to give them a B minus because they are in position to make the playoffs right now. But man, they're one of those teams who maybe got like an A minus for the first half of the year and a C for the second half of the year. And so we're kind of averaging out here to B because they have not looked good going into the end of the season at all. I mean, they've been really bad down the stretch. I don't think their offense is better than they were a year ago. Marcus Mariota does not look better than he was last year. Before that injury. So it's hard to be excited about them, and it's crazy to think that they could be a playoff team the way that they've been playing over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe their record was masking some pretty poor performances in the middle of the year. They beat the Browns by 3 points in overtime, Ravens by 3 points, Bengals by 4 points at home, beat the Colts by 4 points on the road, beat the Texans by 11, but it's the Texans, and that's at home as well. And then, you know, lost to the Steelers by 23, lost to the Cardinals, lost to the Niners, lost to the Rams. I mean, they, you know, I think they've been a pretty mediocre team all year and just had a little more luck in terms of their outcomes earlier on in the season. So I gave them a C+, and I can't go much worse for a team that didn't make the playoffs last year and is making the playoffs this year, but just feels like they are a mismatch. I mean, when I wrote a column last week about, or a couple weeks ago, about coaches who would be on the hot seat and what the coaching vacancies would be, and a ton of Tennessee fans who are probably going to see a playoff game this year, and maybe even, or not a home playoff game, but at least a meaningful playoff game, they were like, yeah, you forgot about Mike Mularkey because he has to be fired. So it's not pleasant there right now, even though they're about to be a playoff team.
Well, and I think if you look at maybe what some other coaches have done with young quarterbacks. I mean, if you're a Titans fan and you had this up close last week where they played the Rams and you look at, oh, here's a coach who knows what to do with a young quarterback and is helping him develop, and you're seeing some exciting new things with their offense. You look at, you know, what Doug Peterson is doing in his second year with Carson Wentz before the injury. And then all of a sudden you kind of see not very interesting growth, not much growth, nothing interesting happening with Marcus Mariota, who's a guy who you should be able to do so many fun things with, and they're just not doing that. So I could understand why Titans fans might be a little unhappy with Mike Mularkey.
Yes. The Denver Broncos, a team that you are very familiar with. I'm intrigued to hear your grade for them.
So I gave them a D, and I probably could have given them an F, but their defense is still going to finish in the top three, and they're still going to have a couple of all-pro players and Von Miller, Aqib Talib. So they really wasted a year of this defense with some of these really good players. We've already seen changes starting on that defense, starting with T.J. Ward leaving early this year. Aqib Talib looks like he could be the next one out from moving forward with contract situations. And if they want to pay a quarterback next year, and I think they're going to have to pay a quarterback next year, whether it's, you know, Kirk Cousins, if they can somehow pry him away from Washington, or whoever it is, they're going to have to make some changes other places in their team. I mean, they've invested a lot of money on that defensive side of the ball because they've been paying their quarterbacks almost nothing over the last 2 years, and that's not going to be sustainable if they want to get better on offense. You know, this year their draft mostly misses. Garrett Bowles has been okay. He's been a very up and down rookie year. It looks like he's going to be a player. He's just so green still. But outside of that, really poor draft. Very few contributions from their rookies. The offense was a disaster. The quarterback situation was a disaster. They're no closer to figuring that out than they were a year ago. I mean, we'll see what Paxton Lynch does on Sunday in his second start of the year, if he can make it through a whole game healthy, if he looks somewhat competent. He has not looked very competent at any point this year, dating back to the preseason. So just a really big mess. And I think the one thing that maybe I've taken away from this is an appreciation for Gary Kubiak, who coached a very similar roster with a very similar staff to 9 wins last year. And the Broncos are at 5 wins right now. And so I think they really miss Gary Kubiak, and they very much miss Wade Phillips as well.
Yeah, I think letting Wade Phillips go, just in hindsight, looms as a really misguided decision, really seemed just like a cheap decision given that, you know, given what he's done in Los Angeles this year. I gave them a D plus for the same reasons. I think my expectations were not super high for them heading into the year. I think I had them as 7-9 team. So, you know, 5-11 doesn't really seem that outlandish to me. But yeah, I think just not getting anything out of Paxton Lynch and sort of figuring that you have to go back into the quarterback market this year has to be really dispiriting if you're John Elway and if you're a Broncos fan. So let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Very up and down year for them. Where do you have them?
I gave them a B. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really disappointing after that hot start, what they were at 5-0, the last undefeated team, that they aren't any better than the fourth seed in the AFC. I mean, that midseason slump was so ugly, really hard to explain, especially on offense. Mm-hmm. But look, they did win the division for back-to-back years. I'm going to give Andy Reid some credit for realizing that there were some things going wrong with the offense and giving up play-calling duties to Matt Nagy. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to, you know, really jumpstart their offense in December. They got Kareem Hunt back on track.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill. I know when we did the preview podcast back in August, we had a lot of questions about how Tyreek Hill would perform as a number one wide receiver. I think he's more than handled that. Better than expected. Defenses still haven't figured out how to cover him. It's just baffling that they'll still play kind of like a single high safety against him because he is way too fast. But, you know, they have a lot of questions moving into next season. So I feel like a B is pretty fair. The biggest question they have moving forward is with a quarterback, with Alex Smith, what are you going to do? I mean, he's not going to win MVP. He was the, you know, maybe the mid-season MVP. He's not even in the discussion right now, but he's more than competent. Are you going to pay him? Are you going to trade him? Are you going to release him? Risk him going to another AFC team like Denver, potentially?
Potentially.
You know, the big questions coming up at quarterback. I'm very interested to see Patrick Mahomes this Sunday in Denver.
Do you think there are some Chiefs fans who are more excited about Patrick Mahomes in Week 17 than they are about the Chiefs in the first round of the playoffs?
Possibly. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've always liked Alex Smith more than I think a lot of people. Even dating back to San Francisco, I've liked him more than a lot of people gave him credit for, I think. But yeah, I mean, people are very curious about this guy. The Chiefs don't draft quarterbacks in the first round. They certainly don't trade up to get quarterbacks. So he played very well in the preseason. So I think there's a lot of excitement about him. And I'm curious what's going to come out of this and if it's going to change their plan. You know, does he come out here and light up the Broncos defense and Aqib Talib and Von Miller and these guys? And then that changes. They absolutely are going to move on from Alex Smith. What if he comes out and throws four picks? You know, goes all Nathan Peterman on him. I don't
know.
So you realize you got to pay Alex Smith. So it'll be interesting. I'm curious your take on where they go from here.
Yeah, I mean, I figure Andy Reid made that trade last year, knowing he was going to trade Alex Smith this year, and certainly that has not been a problem for him in years past. And this is a guy who traded Donovan McNabb, not just with the, you know, a couple years left in his deal, with no real obvious replacement. Kevin Cobb, excuse me, I got my timelines confused. I think Kevin Cobb and Michael Vick were still on the roster, but hadn't really played all that much. I mean, he traded Donovan McNabb in the division, traded him to Washington. Had no concerns about it. You know, said, okay, we're going to make a change at quarterback. And he made an aggressive choice. He did not waver or, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere. But Alex Smith, 1 year left in this deal. They're not going to give up Mahomes, even with a bad start, you'd figure. So it wouldn't surprise me. I think he's going to be traded this offseason. Wouldn't surprise me if Denver was the location. I think a half dozen teams could be in the running there. I think he'll find a spot for Alex Smith. And I think that, you know, it would be they made that trade. I'm pretty confident they made that trade and traded up and gave away that extra first-round pick, thinking, okay, we can get a 2 or a 3 for Alex Smith next offseason. So that's what I think will end up happening there. What about the Chargers, a team that is always impossible to judge?
So I gave them a C, and I feel like now I'm looking back on it, it feels like maybe that's a little low, but they started 0-4, and they're like literally a decent kicker away from winning the AFC West now. You know, I gave them a C. I think I could have given them a B because of the way that they rallied late in the year, because of the way that Keenan Allen has played, their pass rush, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram have been awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they get into the playoffs, I think I'll look back and say, oh, I should have given them more than a C. But because I think they could be very dangerous. Maybe the most dangerous team outside of the Patriots or the Steelers, you know, or a healthy Steelers team. I just think they could be very dangerous in the AFC. So, but yeah, I just that really slow start was just really disappointing for a team that had such high expectations.
Yeah, it does feel like, you know, if they had started hot and then gone in 0-4, I think we would all be giving them C's and D's, because it's just, it was such a, like a frustrating end to their year. I gave them a B minus. I think they're a little better. I'm happy to see the defense playing really well. The kicking game was a mess. It's not gotten a lot better, but they have at least won a game with a last second kick beating the Raiders. So I'm happy they have that at least in their, you know, in their repertoire that they can do that. So, I don't know. I mean, they're still frustrating, but it does seem like if they go 9-7 and just miss out on the playoffs, I think that would have been a positive outcome for a team that was 5-11 a year ago. So I'm going to give them a B. I think they're in okay shape. What about the Oakland Raiders? Let's finish up the first half of the show with the Raiders.
So I gave them a D. I think they're one of the biggest disappointments in the league this year. Such regression on offense. Really no development from Derek Carr this year when they were really hoping that you know, putting him with, you know, or promoting Todd Downing would help spark some more, you know, progression in that offense and in Derek Carr specifically. And that just hasn't happened. The Marshawn Lynch homecoming story kind of, it was a feel good storyline, but it hasn't really worked out football wise. And I think maybe now they should regret signing him and letting Latavius Murray leave. Mm-hmm. And their defense has just not been good all year. Although I think outside of Khalil Mack, I think we all could have seen that coming.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just seems like it's self-inflicted. This is a team that didn't have to fire Bill Musgrave and decided to let him go to promote Todd Downing, and the offense has been a mess. I mean, it's a totally flawed offense. Derek Carr has badly regressed this year. The defense was bad enough that they fired Ken Norton Jr. Jack Del Rio might be losing his job after last year, which I don't think anyone could have predicted. So this was a team that looked like they were on the upswing, where they had been ascending year after year. They were going to be a possible Super Bowl contender this year. And now they're a team that has a lot of question marks. So I gave them a D. I really feel like the woes were self-inflicted. It wasn't injuries. It wasn't, you know, it was just they made decisions that almost universally did not work out. So I'll be interested to see what happens this offseason. A lot of changes in the Oakland Raiders could perhaps be brewing before their move to Las Vegas in a couple of years. But we're going to hit a break. We're going to come back with the NFC grades here on the Bill Barnwell Show in a second. All right. Welcome back here to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN, joined here by Lindsey Jones of USA Today. We're talking about grades for this year's NFL season. And we got to the AFC before the break. And now, as you might suspect, we're going to hit the NFC. And a very topsy-turvy NFC East starts with the Dallas Cowboys. Lindsey, what'd you grade them for 2017?
So I gave them a D, which may seem harsh considering they could potentially finish the season at 9-7. They've got eight wins right now, but they had such big expectations coming into this year after winning the division last year. I don't think it's fair to blame it all on the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, but they really folded in the first three games without him, and that really just wrecked their year. They put too much pressure on Dak, did not have enough help elsewhere. So the fact that they didn't make the playoffs after what they did last year is really disappointing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't think that there's a lot to be impressed about with the Cowboys this year. You would figure they wouldn't be quite as good as they were a year ago, but Jerry Jones, his behavior was obviously, well, maybe not obviously a distraction, but I think you can make a case it was a distraction to this team. The defense is rebuilding, and even though they got a great year out of DeMarcus Lawrence, who's going to be a free agent, the secondary's a bit of a mess. And this is a team that, you know, they have a lot of guys who are not necessarily impressive, who are on big deals. Dez Bryant has not lived up to his contract. Terrence Williams, number two wide receiver, is an anonymous player most weeks. So we're going to see. I mean, they're a team that, again, like the Raiders, great shape last year, looked like they were set to, you know, be a Super Bowl contender this year. And now it's suddenly, even if they don't fire Jason Garrett, there's going to be some changes this offseason on that roster. So major question marks about the Cowboys. What about the New York Giants? I feel like this is an easy one, but I'm intrigued to see what you think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is there something lower than an F? I mean, we give them an F. I mean, look, they're a playoff team last year. Vegas had them at 9 wins. Mm-hmm. Going into this year, they've won 2. I think they were the easiest F on the board, even easier than the Browns, which is crazy. I mean, they were just a disaster, dumpster fire from the beginning. I was at that week one game in Dallas when it was, 19-3, and they just couldn't move the ball at all. And you kind of thought, well, maybe it's because they don't have Odell Beckham. But really, it was just a sign that it was going to be a really bad year, that nothing was going to work. And just so many embarrassing moments, you know, the benching of Eli Manning for Geno Smith, all three cornerbacks getting suspended by the team for detrimental conduct, culminating in the Eli Apple drama this week with him telling reporters that he had to take a number two instead of talking to them.
Lady, I would appreciate, given that ladies are present, I would appreciate if you didn't mention that. Thank you very much.
Yes, my feminine ears can't handle such vulgarity, so let's be gentle here. But yeah, just a disaster up and down the board, and I don't think they're in good situation moving into next year. We don't know who the GM is going to be yet. We don't know who the head coach is going to be yet. Mm-hmm. We don't know who the quarterback is going to be. The defense that looked really good last year has now some major questions, especially in that secondary. It looks like a lot of those guys could be gone, so a mess all around.
Yeah, it just seems it's the easiest F on the board. And I think the Eagles are an easy A, right?
Absolutely. 13 wins. The Carson Wentz injury is just really brutal after such a great year that he had. And, you know, now we just have to wonder if their defense is good enough to carry them through the playoffs with an offense that looks like it's going to be diminished with Nick Foles. Like, I think Nick Foles will be okay. I mean, we saw him play well against the Giants, but we also saw him play really poorly against the Raiders. So if the Eagles are going to make a run now, it's really going to be up to, you know, Fletcher Cox and Vinnie Curry and Chris Long and Malcolm Jenkins, and to take a lot of the pressure off of Nick Foles.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, a great year looking back. I mean, I it's hard to argue with what they did.
Yeah, just about every one of their moves turned out to be correct. I think they're in great shape for the future, obviously, with Wentz still on a rookie contract for a couple more years. But, you know, it would have been an A-plus if Wentz had stayed healthy. Obviously, the injury is a concern and may end up costing them a trip to the Super Bowl here in 2017. What about Washington?
So I gave them a C.
Yep.
I had a hard time really judging, grading them. I felt like a lot of their moves didn't work, especially the Terrell Pryor addition that was a big bust. I think Kirk Cousins was fine. I mean, good for him for betting on himself again and not signing that deal that Washington offered him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to hit 4,000 yards again, although his stats are down from last year. Mm-hmm. You know, they had some tough injuries on offensive line, their running backs, Chris Thompson and Rob Kelly, that they had to overcome. But, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. Best they can hope. Hello.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is butting into this conversation, wants to say that he's going to. That even though his raw numbers are down, that he's playing just fine and is happy to take $30 million from the Browns this offseason.
Yeah, and I think he has set himself up well for next year. I don't know how well the rest of the Washington team has set themselves up for next year, though.
I agree, and I don't think it's been a positive situation. I think the injuries, of course, have been the biggest concern, and you can't really fault them for the injuries. A lot of them are just freak injuries, but it has been a thing where I don't think they're in better shape to win next year than they were heading into the season. And who knows what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins? By the way, that truck that honked was a Kettle One truck, so obviously you know it's got places to go. Kettle One, great sponsor here on the Bill Barnwell Show. The Chicago Bears.
So I gave them a C because I think it was right about what we expected was going to happen, them being a 5-win team. I think they're in a better situation heading into next year than they were a year ago at quarterback. I think there were some promising moments out of Mitch Trubisky. They had to play him. They couldn't move on with Mike Glennon any longer than they did. But moving forward, who's going to coach him? I think they have to get a better coach who's better equipped to handle a young quarterback like Trubisky, and maybe hope that you can find some of that magic that you had with, you know, Sean McVay and Jared Goff, because I don't think John Fox is the right guy to be coaching Mitch Trubisky into the future. So I think they were fine. Some promising moments. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen were, you know, a fun running back duo, especially Jordan Howard played really well. I think Leonard Floyd, kind of a bright spot on that defense, but this is probably it for the John Fox era. And, maybe next year will be better.
That could be a slogan for the NFL as a whole in 2017. Maybe next year will be better. I'm with you. I gave them a C as well. Defense has shown a lot of promise. I'm still a little iffy on Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, you know, with Jared Goff this year, who knows what's going to happen with him next season. But I agree with you. An offensive-minded head coach, you think, is the next step. Someone who's better developing quarterbacks than John Fox has been. But, you know, him and Vic Fangio, I think they've done a very solid job with the defense there in Chicago. Very underrated unit over the second half of the season. What about the Detroit Lions?
I also gave them a C. Mm-hmm. Just they felt they're very average. Matthew Stafford, very average, right, consistent with the guy he's been his entire career.
Yep.
Disappointing that they couldn't follow up last year's playoff appearance with another playoff appearance. There was just hard to find anything, though, to be really excited about or reasons for a lot of optimism moving forward other than, you know, who your quarterback is going to be. I mean, a lot of other teams don't know, and at least they know who their quarterback is going to be, but not super excited about a lot of stuff going on with the Lions.
Yeah, I gave them a C+. You know, you're paying full price for a very good quarterback or a good quarterback, and that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world by any means. A lot of teams would be happy to do that, but yeah, I mean, the same problems with this team are popping up. The running game's still an issue. I mean, the receivers are very sound, but they're paying full price for them. The defense, better this year. Definitely more takeaways, fourth in the league in takeaways, but when they're not getting, you know, those crazy amounts of takeaways, the defense hasn't been very effective. They are 1-3 in those games. They don't have a turnover, and they've allowed 27, 17, 30, and 44, including 44 points, to the Ravens. Of all teams in that game, which that's a remarkable sight. Granted, you know, they had one of those, say, a interception return, but you get the idea. 37 points to the Ravens offense is terrifying. So definitely some question marks about that team heading forward. The Green Bay Packers, tough team to grade.
Yeah, a really tough team to grade. Actually, I thought it was really hard to give them an accurate grade because of the Aaron Rodgers injury.
Right.
I mean, kind of like where it was with the Texans, where It just feels unfair to kind of grade them without Aaron Rodgers. So I gave them a C. They're, you know, they could finish at 8-8. They got 7 wins right now.
Yep.
It's just so disappointing not to have Aaron Rodgers for a whole year. I feel like as NFL fans and people who love watching football, we were robbed of most of the season from one of the best players. Yeah, of the year. The playoffs are going to be way less interesting without Aaron Rodgers in it. So, you know, I think there were some positives out of Brett Hundley, but there were also a lot of signs of, man, give Aaron Rodgers, back up that truck that's honking outside of your apartment, fill it with money, drive it over to Aaron Rodgers' house, give him as much as he wants, because that's really what my takeaway from this season was for the Packers.
I agree with you. I think this truck should disappear very quickly. It would be definitely helpful for the audio quality of this podcast, but I agree, C+. I am not impressed with the team as a whole right now. Even with losing Rodgers, I mean, you saw the seams really quickly with that offense. It looked like a mess for most of the time. Brett Hundley was in there, and that's on Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson. You know, they need to know, hey, we need a better backup with a guy where he does miss time about half the time in his career, where we might need a backup quarterback for a game or two who can play in the scheme. And then McCarthy didn't do a great job of adjusting his scheme to play to Brett Hundley's strengths, so it did feel disjointed for a while, and I am not especially impressed. I don't know if there are changes, but
I just remember after the NFC Championship game last year writing about how that the Packers needed to do more around Aaron Rodgers moving into 2017. Remember he was lobbying for them to re-sign Jared Cook. That didn't happen. They needed to do something with the running game to get them some sort of a valid running game, and they didn't do any of that, and it really cost them when Aaron Rodgers went down. And now I think they're going to be facing some major changes. And I don't know if Davante Adams will be back. Will Jordan Nelson be back? Will Clay Matthews be back? I mean, it feels like that – I don't ever want to say a window is closed with a team that has Aaron Rodgers on it, but it's going to, I think the Packers next year are going to look a lot different than they did early this year.
I agree with you. By the way, as you were saying that, 4 cars started backing up in sync, in unison, about halfway up the block. So things are getting very juicy out here in Brooklyn on my block, here in Park Slope. I'll be intrigued to see if they do make wholesale changes and if, you know, this is the end for Ted Thompson, if he decides to retire, if Mike McCarthy leaves. It wouldn't be unwarranted, I think, in a lot of ways, given how they could be wasting some of the best years of Aaron Rodgers' career. A much happier situation, you might say, is the Minnesota Vikings, right?
Yeah, they're an easy A. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, 12 wins right now, probably going to have some, they're going to have at least one home game.
Yep.
Potential.
No,
they could end up.
I think they're locked into, are they locked in? Maybe, no.
I think they're locked into the two.
Okay.
Right now, but.
I should know this.
I wouldn't be shocked if the NFC Championship game winded up being in Minnesota. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's really fun. We haven't had a home team or the Super Bowl host team being this legitimate of a Super Bowl contender ever, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is pretty crazy that you could potentially have the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl in the same stadium,
right.
You know, in 2 out of 3 weeks. So I just think it's so insane. If we looked back to August, and you said, okay, the Vikings are going to have 12 wins heading into week 17, and that Case Keenum is going to be the quarterback who got them there. I mean, nobody ever would have believed it. So they've just been a great story. Adam Thielen has been awesome. It's a legitimately a championship caliber defense. They're strong at every level. Harrison Smith does not get enough credit. He's been awesome. I hope he ends up getting an All-Pro selection since he didn't get into the Pro Bowl. So, mm-hmm. They're easy A. They've been such a great story and one of the best teams we've seen this year.
Okay, so the Vikings can't get a one seed, but they could lose their first round bye if, and this is obviously a very big if when I tell you what needs to happen, the Panthers need to beat the Falcons, the Vikings need to lose to the Bears, the Niners need to beat the Rams, and the Buccaneers need to beat the Saints. If all that happens, Carolina ends up as the 2 seed, and Minnesota would be the 3. So it's safe to say, I think a 99.6% chance per the ESPN Focal Power Index, the Vikings will be staying at home for the first round of the playoffs, then hosting a game in round 2. And they could have home field advantage throughout the entire postseason. You know, if the Eagles lose and the Vikings keep winning, they're going to be at home through the Super Bowl. So could be really interesting. Could be, like you said, a first. What about, and we don't know what's going to happen with them yet heading into week 17, what about the Atlanta Falcons?
So I gave them a C, and kind of along the lines of what we talked about with the Patriots earlier, I think they get downgraded a little bit because of their expectations, and we're comparing them to last year. And yeah, I've given a lot of C's, I think, but they're not all created equal. And I just, the roster was very little changes from their Super Bowl roster. If anything, they got better with some of the key defensive players that came back from injury. And they regressed. Their offense regressed. Matt Ryan kind of went back more to his career averages. Doesn't mean he's been terrible, but he's not playing at the MVP levels last year. I think it took Steve Sarkisian way too long to figure out mm-hmm. what to do with this offense, how to use Julio Jones, which shouldn't be that hard to figure out how to use Julio Jones. And they just haven't had, you know, consistent pass rush. Mm-hmm. game to game. So I just think it's disappointing that as good as they were last year and with as much talent they have across that roster, that they're only at 9 wins and are really fighting to get into the playoffs right now.
I agree. I gave them a C+. I'm more concerned about the defense. You know, this is a defense that really impressed during last year's postseason. Even though they lost late in the Patriots game, they really did a good job against the Patriots most of that game too. So you figure, okay, they're young. So many guys had impressive postseasons. They're going to break out. They're going to get Desmond Trufant, their best player, back on defense. This could be a team where even if the offense declines, the defense looks great, and the offense has declined a bit, and the defense hasn't stepped up. It's been just about as bad as it was a year ago, and that's been really frustrating. I think that you would figure with Dan Quinn there that that's his primary role. You would have hoped the defense would have taken a big step forward and hasn't. So C+ for me. What about Carolina?
So I gave them a B, but now that I hear you say that they could end up as the 2 seed, I feel like that's low. They're just really under the radar for an 11-win team, but potentially a 12-win team. You know, they had some struggles early. It felt like it took their offense a long time to get on track and figure out what to do with Christian McCaffrey. The Greg Olsen injury early was that's a really tough one because of how much Cam Newton relies on him. Mm-hmm. You know, but who are these wide receivers that they're playing with? I mean, Kelvin Benjamin is still third on the team in catches.
And he was traded in October. Yeah.
So, you know, I think I feel okay giving them a B, but I think they could be very dangerous in the playoffs, depending on what those matchups are, especially if, you know, Luke Kuechly stays healthy, Thomas Davis stays healthy. I think they've got a sneaky good defense. A lot of veteran guys on that team that on both sides, offense and defense, that know how to win in the postseason. So, I'm going to give them a B and feel okay with that.
Yeah, Julius Peppers has 11 sacks, and he's 103 years old, which is nice because then I don't feel quite as old, but also sad because you know, the three teams are giving up on him, and even the Panthers are giving up on him, and they've all come to regret it. So I wonder what'll happen this offseason with Julius Peppers. I don't know what you're going to get from week to week with them, even from half to half, where the first half, they'll look terrible against the Jets, and the second half, they'll, you know, do just enough to win. But then they'll run for 216 yards and really impress against the Vikings. They'll put up a stinker against the Bucks and pull one out at the last second. So I don't know. They're just so inconsistent, but oh, here we go. Now we have even more honking and we have a cop car. So, apparently that truck got very angry about not being able to move. You're about to enjoy the finest sounds here in urban podcast recording. I gave them a B+, and then I gave the Saints an A. I think that's a pretty simple one.
Yeah, me too. Such an amazing defensive turnaround. I mean, I don't think any of us saw this coming after they lost to the Vikings and the Patriots in weeks 1 and 2, and now they're top 5 in most of the defensive categories. So, yeah, definitely an A for that turnaround, an A for that running game, and an A for their rookie class.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think nobody could have seen this happening for them. And it is a young defense, so you'd figure they're going to be good going forward, and that could keep them in title contention for next year and the year after, until Drew Brees leaves and they have to address that quarterback position. The Bucks, I'm in the opposite space. I feel like I gave them a D+, and that might even be generous.
Yeah, I gave them a D as well. It's very disappointing. I mean, I don't know. It's the Hard Knocks curse. You know, every year I feel like we kind of get sucked into whatever the Hard Knocks team is, thinking that they're going to be good because we've, you know, the dramatic music and seeing all the behind the scenes stuff. But I was out there in training camp, and those expectations were real. That wasn't like created by HBO. I remember talking to Derek Brooks for a while, and he really felt that there were some similarities about when they built their championship teams.
Yeah.
And I just think Jameis Winston has to be one of the biggest disappointments, you know, for an individual player in in this league. I mean, his relationship with Dirk Koetter is strained now. He didn't really make any real progress on the things that he really needed to improve. You know, his decision making, his turnovers. You know, last week we saw him just completely lose his mind and you know, really show his immaturity. I mean, he's only 23. I think we have to keep reminding myself that he's 23, and it's way too early to say that he can't kind of turn those things around. But it's just been disappointing to not see him improve this year, especially after they really made some investments around him this year, you know, adding DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard to join him and Mike Evans. And we just didn't see the progress that they needed to make.
Yeah, it's been really frustrating. And he's been a little better the past couple of weeks. 3 touchdowns against the Falcons, 367 yards against the Panthers. But like you said, there was that. Now people ring my, this is every possible interruption to the podcast is entering into play here. I apologize.
Oh, I don't want to say every possible. We still have a toddler who could potentially make her way into the podcast if we're.
I may have jinxed it. But yeah, it's really frustrating. You know, you would hope that you would be seeing progress from Jameis Winston and not still having more question marks whether he's going to be the guy, but you know, they're going to pick up his 5th-year option, but This could go south. I mean, if he doesn't improve next year, I don't think you give him a long-term extension in Tampa Bay. So we're going to have to see. You know, it felt like that was a finished product, and it's certainly not in Tampa Bay. And you'd figure Dirk Koetter is probably on his way out. Another coach who rumors he might be leaving this year after the season is Bruce Arians in Arizona. He's denied it. I guess we'll see what happens after the year. But frustrating year for the Cardinals. So what do you give them as far as a grade?
So I gave them a C-.
Okay.
They've got 7 wins, and I was kind of surprised.
I am surprised by that, too.
It feels way too high because it never felt at any point this year that they were even close to being a contender in their division or really for a wild card spot. So it just feels like major changes are coming, that whether it's Bruce Arians, Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, it just feels like that the Cardinals, as we know it, are this is the end of that. So, C-, some bright spots. Chandler Jones has been really good. Looks like he could win the sack title. He's at 15 right now. So, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, another 100 catch season, and he got there catching passes from Carson Palmer, Blaine Gabbert, and Drew Stanton. So there were some positives to take out of there, but overall it just feels like it's the end.
Yeah, and it feels like a lot of the young players who you would have figured would have been the core of this team just aren't improving. John Brown was expected to take a big leap forward this year and didn't really get 21 catches. Probably leaves in free agency this year. David Johnson, of course, the injury cost him his season. I think it's unfair to blame him for that, but of course, ended up changing things for them. Even on defense, Deion Buchanan was hurt and then hasn't really been an impactful player since coming back into the lineup. Robert Nkemdiche was supposed to play a bigger role with Clayus Campbell leaving and wasn't able to. So as far as Chandler Jones is going, that's great. That's been impressive. But a lot of question marks about this team and about their construction. And now you're going to have to hand out a big contract to David Johnson. You're going to have to find a new quarterback, assuming Carson Palmer leaves or retires. So I don't know. I mean, like you said, this could be the end of this core of a team where even if it's you bring back Chandler Jones and David Johnson and kind of build around those guys going forward, it's going to take a year or two to really get them the talent they need. Easy grade for me. I would give the Rams an A+.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, the best turnaround in football. No one could have expected that it was going to go this well for Sean McVay and Jared Goff in their first year together. Right. So, you know, we all made a lot of, you know, young guy jokes about Sean McVay when he got hired when he was 30, mm-hmm. but right before he turned 31. But, man, it shows you what a great coach is a great coach, regardless of his age, and really great offensive mind, really good play caller. Mm-hmm. And he knew how to use Todd Gurley, so yeah. Credit to him for figuring it all out and getting them an NFC West title.
It's absurd. By the way, the Kettle One truck I mentioned 15 minutes earlier is still on my block. It has not moved.
Big problem.
Big problem is right. I apologize.
I mean, can they at least like pour you a cocktail? I mean,
it would be nice. It sure would be nice. But I apologize to you, the listener. This is on me. Most of the time, it's fine. You know, you might get a stray truck here or there, but this is like a 99th percentile disaster. Okay, the Kettle truck is off the block now. I give the Kettle One truck a C- for being so loud.
Give him an F for not stopping and sharing with the rest of them.
Yes. We now have someone, I think someone got a package. Now he's yelling at people on the street. He's yelling at cars for honking, because they're yelling at him for not picking up his package quickly enough. So it's a bit of a disaster, but we have progress. The Kettle One truck is gone. C- F, both fair grades, but talking about the Rams, and I agree with you. I think it's just every decision they made. This is like the best possible outcome for that decision. It's, Wade Phillips is going to improve this defense. Hey, we have one of the best defenses in football. Hey, let's sign Robert Woods. He's going to be a steady guy. He's going to block for us. He's going to be a useful two-way contributor. Oh, he's suddenly like a downfield threat. I mean, there really hasn't been many decisions the Rams have made that haven't worked out this offseason. So I think just this is the dream outcome for that organization. Not a dream situation, though, for the Seattle Seahawks. Where do you have Seattle this year?
So I gave them a C, which, you know, they could end up winning 10 games and getting into the playoffs. So, you know, a C, if that's the case, then a C could be low. And, you know, look, they got really unlucky with those injuries on defense to Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Cliff Averill. But it just feels like they should have been better. And it's their fault that their offensive line is still a mess. It's their fault that they didn't have better running back depth or, you know, they lost Chris Carson to an injury and he looked really good early in the year. But these are problems that have persisted for years for them. And I feel like they should know better that they need to fix these issues. And like, I mean, getting going and out and trading for Duane Brown, that certainly helped, but it's across the board that they've had these issues for a number of years and they're just putting way too much on Russell Wilson. And, so yeah, I'm going to give him a C, and it'd be fun to see them in the postseason because you just never know what Russell Wilson will do. He could have one of those crazy games in him that could get them, you know, through a wild card game. But I'm giving him a C because I don't think they're set up very well for the future. It just feels like major changes are coming, especially on defense to this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have them at a C+, and I think you probably talked me into giving them a C. I mean, this is a team that the moves they made, you know, they signed Luke Joeckel to a one-year deal, signed Eddie Lacy to a one-year deal. Those moves haven't worked out. Joeckel's been mediocre. Lacy's been anonymous and is just, you know, might not be in the league next year, given how he's looked this season. The Richardson trade helped out a little bit, but draft was not very productive outside of Shaq Griffin. Some question marks about the construction of this team, the drafts over the past few years. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, really hope that they nail this offseason, because if not, you know, this could be a team that's really flawed, that is going to be Russell Wilson having to make magic happen and hoping that the high-priced players they have stay healthy. But I think this is a disappointing season. And obviously the Rams breaking out didn't help matters, but, you know, they could be the third-best team in the NFC West this time next year. It's not out of the question, because suddenly, after a totally anonymous year, the Niners look like they're in great shape.
Yeah, and I gave them a C as well, which it feels weird to give, you know, a 5-win team and a 9-win team right now the same grade. But, I mean, they were an F team, what, September to November? And then in December, they've been an A ever since Jimmy Garoppolo started playing. So it's, you just have to be optimistic about them moving forward. You know, they've got their quarterback. They'll figure out how they're going to pay him, whether they, you know, franchise him this year or they give him an extension, you know, give him an extension this year and pay him. But just so many reasons to be optimistic about their future. And the John Lynch era is off to a really good start. Him and Kyle Shanahan have made a lot of really good moves. I think some of their receiver moves that they made this offseason have paid off that didn't seem great in the offseason. I mean, Marquise Goodwin, it was hard to get super excited about that, but he's played, you know, he's been a nice piece.
Right.
You know, Carlos Hyde is a running back that you can kind of run behind for a couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, optimistic, I think. And maybe the best thing to be optimistic about if you're a Niners fan is not just how Jimmy Garoppolo has been playing right now, which has been really fun to watch, mm-hmm. but it's that historically how quarterbacks tend to play in year two in a Kyle Shanahan offense. So this, what he's doing right now is really setting themselves up for next year.
This is our biggest gap at any grade. I gave them a B+, and a lot of that is Garoppolo. Okay. I appreciate that. You know, they did stink earlier this year. And if you'd asked me this halfway through the year, I would have said maybe a D-, because I had really low expectations for them. But, I mean, this is a team now where suddenly they have $115 million in cap space and a quarterback everyone was going to want to play with. So their entire time frame changes. I mean, they, you know, they're not that far away with this offense, which is again, you know, without Pierre Garçon, without Trent Brown, who's a very solid right tackle, with holes at tight end, with mediocre receivers. I mean, he's made them look like a dominant offense. This is a team that scored 44 points against the Jaguars last week, which is, they've been the best defense in football all year. So they can improve the defense, maybe draft an offensive lineman on the interior. You know, maybe they're the team, and I write about this for tomorrow, maybe they're the team that goes out and gives Le'Veon Bell $15 million a year because they can afford to. And suddenly that offense, if you get a top flight running back and you have Jimmy Garoppolo playing like a franchise quarterback, I mean, that team could move really quickly. So I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, and especially with a couple other teams in that division trending down.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, really exciting.
Absolutely.
Maybe people will start going to the stadium in Santa Clara to watch them.
That may be a bridge too far, but we will see. I'm really, really intrigued by how this team has changed so quickly. And I think writing about it last night for tomorrow, it really hit me that, like, wow, this is, you know, this is really settling in, and this is really going to be a thing where, unless he gets hurt or unless he's a total flop based on what we, you know, what we've seen so far, that seems incredibly unlikely. You know, this could be a legitimate playoff contender really quickly. So really interesting ending there. Not expect us to disagree. And you asked me before we started, you said, are you a tough grader? And I said, yes. And then your grades were universally tougher than mine.
Well, maybe I was just afraid of that I was going to look too, that I was going to be too easy. So, but we were pretty much on the same page for the most part, I think.
I think so. You're the disciplinarian of this podcast.
You were
the Tom Coughlin, and I was the Ben McAdoo. Sadly so. but Lindsay, where can people check out more of your work?
Yeah, usatoday.com. And I'm on Twitter at @ByLindsay with an A, by Lindsay H. Jones.
Lindsay, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Thanks so much, guys, for listening to today's episode of the Bill Barnwell Show. No podcast on Monday this week, of course, because of New Year's Day. Of course, have a happy New Year. Watch the games on week 17 on New Year's Eve. I think you may see me on television if you happen to be at a bar watching SportsCenter on New Year's Eve. We'll see. Maybe not. But, of course, I'll be writing a column for that Monday. We'll have a podcast later on that week, I think maybe Thursday or Friday. We're going to preview the wildcard games. Playoffs are coming. Going to be a very interesting postseason. So thanks so much for checking out the show. Again, happy holidays, happy New Year, and more audio coming for you next week.